Jerry Bader Show, 1035. By the way, one more thought on the 6th congressional race. Tom Petri deciding he did not want to take on a primary. Longtime Republican Wisconsin Congressman. Gannett Media did this thing on elected officials, federal officials all over the state, and the time they spend back here in Wisconsin. The headline was misleading, and it made it sound as though a lot of members of Congress from Wisconsin don't spend much time here. Most of them spend 70% of their free time in Wisconsin. Tammy Baldwin, 73%. Ron Johnson, 70%. Sean Duffy, 86%. Ron Kind, 85%. Paul Ryan, who I would have thought would have been on the shorter end, 82% of his free time. Moonbat Mark Pocan, 71%. Reed Ribble, 70%. Gwen Moore, 62%. Jim Sensenbrenner, Republican, 58%. Tom Petri, 36%. He was much more of Washington than Wisconsin, and that would have haunted him horribly. And here's the thing. That's been known for years. That's been an open secret for a long time. But this is finally the year that most believe that it would have caught up with him. What is free time exactly? You know, that is actually a good question. That actually is a good question. I guess my understanding is when they're not committed to being in Washington for direct duties of Congress. Jason, we're going to do something, and I just pulled this out of thin air. Oh, it's just not going to be that. I didn't tell you to go out and bench press the building, for God's sake. Just settle down. You would like to try that, though. Well, we could probably arrange that. Okay. Now, we're going to do a loyal listener. We're going to give away a pair of Brewer tickets. If anyone who could get this right, they are going to get a pair of Brewers tickets. A week ago today, I suggested something, and I was right. I took calls on it, Jason, to see if anyone else noticed this. Again, this one goes deep. This is for the loyalist of Jerry Bader Show listeners. If anybody can call, if they have any idea what I'm talking about, it was a week ago today, 406-1360, 888-455-1360. I took calls on the air to see if anybody noticed what I noticed, and what I noticed led me to believe something. Yes. In fact, what you just said would be, that's all they have to say. In fact, make sure they don't say anything more than that. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. This is your reward for being a devout listener, listening every day, and paying very close attention. This is a week ago today, which is a clue. Tom on the road, what do you think it is?
You were talking about the television show 24, how they didn't play the music at the end on the clock ticking, or the clock ticking.
That is correct. And he did that very nicely because he didn't give anything away. Tom, you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, don't go anywhere. Jason's going to get some information from you, okay?
Thank you.
I noticed something about the TV series 24 and something they traditionally have done. I'm trying not to spoil it for those who haven't watched 24 yet, but you might have figured it out. So now I'm going to give you a 10 count. By the way, see, that's a loyal listener. That's someone who listens every day and pays attention. I'm going to give you a 10 count for those of you who don't know what Tom is referring to. If you are watching 24, you're going to want to turn the sound down for just a bit. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And if you did figure it out, I apologize. It is a spoiler, and I usually try not to do that. Last week, again, we are in full spoiler mode now. Last week, at the end of 24, which is all over ads, President Heller was taken out by a drone strike by terrorists in the center of Wembley Stadium. I noticed that at the end of the episode, they didn't do what they normally do when one of the good guys die. They do what's called the silent clock. It clicks to the end of the hour without the beep, 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 and it's this little homage to the fallen. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. They had the regular beep, beep. I thought, Now, a lot of people noticed this, and TV critics were laughing at people like me that suggested, oh, Heller's really alive. President Heller, James Heller, is alive. Jack figured out a way to save him. See? Jason is, hey, poo on you. I got it right. Now, by the way, critics loved last week's episode. I got to tell you, the show had been somewhat lukewarm until last week. At times it was very, very good, and I thought last night's was very, very good. The one thing I don't like is 24 has always been this way. In the middle of a season, they solve what seems to be the big problem, only for there to be another big problem. So I get a little frustrated by that. There is a fascinating piece. Do you remember last week? You had beers with Kiefer Sutherland? Well, you did tell me that. That's right. So that's the only good thing about 24 is you've had beers with Jack Bauer. Before he was Jack Bauer, right? Yeah. Well, that is pretty cool. I don't think I can top that. That is pretty cool. Was it last week I did the piece, Jason, and I'm sure you won't remember, the psychiatrist who doesn't accept gender confusion syndrome. He doesn't believe that if a man thinks they were born a woman or a woman thinks they were born a man, he doesn't believe surgical change is the solution for that. He believes it's a psychiatric disorder, which should be treated in and of itself. He thinks it's like giving in to an anorexic or a bulimic. That's really what he believes. Therefore, he was, as I predicted, crucified. He was just crucified. Well, you can't say that transgender people have a psychological disorder and on and on and on. Transgender is seen as the new civil rights movement. Transgender is seen as the next post-gay marriage. They're gearing up because they see that they have won gay marriage. It was a week ago last Friday. And they are now going to move on to transgender being the next great civil rights debate. There's a piece, and I can't think of her name now. Where's the author here? It's in The Federalist, and I'm sure I don't have the author's name. How the Trans Agenda Seeks to Redefine Everyone. This is really fascinating. She points out that Planned Parenthood and NARAL, both pro-abortion organizations that champion women's rights, are getting on board the transgender agenda. Why? What's in it for them? Good question. One signal comes from a little petition drive that goes by pro-trans, pro-choice. It urges both PP and NARAL to adopt language more inclusive of transgender persons and to acknowledge gender non-conforming people. Both pro-abortion organizations, which have been longtime supporters of the LGBT lobby, tweeted back supportive replies. So what does this mean and why should we care? Well, maybe Exhibit A should be Oprah Winfrey introducing us to the first pregnant man in 2008. This would be a woman named Tracy who transitioned to being Thomas. You have to follow this. by having a double mastectomy with a dose of hormones to produce facial hair and such. Thomas thought it would be nice to have a baby someday, so he decided to keep his vagina, uterus, and ovaries intact. But for some reason, even though Thomas was legally documented as a male, she, needed a sperm donation. Life isn't fair. In any event, when pregnant, Thomas was happy to pose nude, mostly anyway, for the camera. Thomas has since had two more children, and in 2012 decided to undergo surgery for a more complete transition to a male bodily appearance. She now lectures on trans fertility and reproductive rights. Most, and listen to this point, most do not understand what a seismic shift in language is being pushed here. In this scheme of things, using the pronoun she to refer to a person who goes through pregnancy and gives birth to a child is grounds for punishment. Do you understand what the author's saying? You can't call him a her anymore. The thought police are going to drop a house of bricks on you if you call someone born with a vagina who gave birth to children a she. You can't do that. So what does it all mean? At root, this isn't really about people like Thomas. It's mostly about everybody else. It's all about changing you and your self-concept. As fringy as they may sound, injecting such lies into our language, the pregnant man, and the push to separate the word pregnancy from the word woman are clear signals that we are moving steadily towards erasing all gender distinctions in the law. And why should we care? I will answer that in 3 minutes. Because this might just be one of the, whatever. She makes the case, no, it's much more important than that. I'll share it with you in three. It's 10:48.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.